the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, and beginning there at the 24th verse. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are divided off upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And they shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's the book of Daniel, 9th chapter, 24 through 27. Let us bow in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are truly thankful to you for your many blessings upon us. We are living in a very momentous age. We realize that there have been many before us who have studied these things and had desired to know the answers to many of the questions that arise from the study of your word. We do pray that as we're gathered here today that you'd be with us. Help us to have open eyes and open ears and open hearts, that we might indeed understand and receive your message. Be with the many who are named as in special need of our prayers this day. You know their needs. We pray that you would meet them as it is your great will. Take this service in charge, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that as far as a topic of Scripture, the 70 weeks of Daniel probably would top any other. In fact, I have a file about an inch thick just on articles and lessons that people have given on the 70 weeks. And there's a wide range of ideas, all the way from it being totally historical to wild and futuristic teachings. So we're just going to see what it says as much as we can and try to see if we can come to some conclusions or some understanding on this particular subject. Notice here that it says that it was determined, or as the Hebrew there indicates, divided off. 70 weeks are divided off upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Many years ago, when people were, before Israel was restored as a nation, they were talking about these 70 weeks being continuous. I said, well, the 70 weeks are divided off on the people in the holy city. I said they were in dispersion. The city was not in their possession. And so I used that as an argument, the fact that it couldn't be going on just because of the fact as to the 70 weeks was divided off on the people and the city. But he goes on and says that when this begins, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. And I've had a good many people confuse this to saying building the temple. But it's not talking about the temple in this instance. It's talking about the city. And this, about 454 B.C., Artaxerxes commanded to rebuild the city under Nehemiah. If you turn to Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter, the first 8 verses, talk about this command to rebuild the city. And so this is seven sevens, or 49 years, ran from 454 B.C. to 405 B.C. Then it goes on and talks about 62 weeks, or 62 sevens would be 434 years, would take you from 405 B.C. to 29 A.D. And all of us know that through the years that there have been variations in the calendar. In fact, as far as the calendar is concerned, Jesus was born in 5 B.C. Well, we know he wasn't born 5 years before he was born, but in working on the calendar, you find that it does push it to that. So instead of being 0 to 30 years and 3 years of ministry to 33 A.D., it comes out to 29 A.D. as being the actual time when Jesus was cut off in the month of Nisan. And so that it says, after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So it's showing that this is a time when he was allowed himself to be killed as a sacrifice. We see that in looking at these things, that this is plainly historical, because you have the 49 years from the command to rebuild the city to it was built under Nehemiah. Then you have the 434 years, or 62 sevens, from 405 B.C. to 29 A.D. And in other words, we're saying that this is prophecy. I mean, this prophecy has been fulfilled in this history. But then one of the things that there was the most argument about and the most difference about in the interpretations of this particular passage was whether there is a gap or whether there is not a gap. And a good many of them just say, well, there's no gap. It's continuous history. I'm not picking on Brother Williamson, but he had a wonderful article in the Restitution Herald many years ago, in which he showed that it was continuous history and that the 70 weeks ended probably with the conversion of Cornelius, of turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. But the question I've had, and I've had it a good bit, in fact, some of the other articles had an ending with the stoning of Stephen, and they picked other dates, but who knows when that date was? I don't know of anything that concludes that date would be exactly the number of years after the crucifixion of Jesus to say that that was the end of it. And so as a result, what I see, I just don't see anything strong. In other words, you've got a beginning peg that is very plain, the command by Artaxerxes to rebuild the city. That was something that's known, but we don't know what happened 7 years after Jesus' death that would allow people to conclude that the 70th week ended then. The question I have is, were all of the elements in Daniel 9:24 fulfilled during that particular time? When you go back to them, you see it's they were divided off on the city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. In studying these, we see the first three have talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, and the last three really, to me, are talking about his reign. Well, his reign has not started, so these last three things mentioned in the 24th verse of the 9th chapter, to me, have not been fulfilled. Some go into this most holy, and they go into other terminology in there to try to determine that it was not talking about the holy place or holy of holies, the temple, not talking about anything of that sort, but it might be just talking about an anointed one and so forth. But I've satisfied myself, at least, I may not satisfy other people, but I've satisfied myself that those things were not all fulfilled. I've already talked earlier in this series about the gap, the different reasons why I think that that there is a gap between them. In fact, Brother Wally actually brought out that even the people who believe in the Roman interpretation call for a gap and to get to the revival of Rome. But the thing that other theories regard these 70 weeks are the William Miller theory, in which in the early 1800s he had determined in a study of prophecy that these weeks of Daniel 9 were actually should be translated. You take the days and then translate them and change them to years. And so he came up to 1842 as being the end of Gentile times and for Jesus to come. And there are all kinds of stories about that. The Church of God was already in existence at that time. And some of our people, Joseph Marsh, for instance, in Christadelphian literature, was called a Millerite elder. But we don't see that our people really went along with Miller, although definitely the Millerite movement affected the Church of God. But then later, Russell came along. He said, oh, Miller missed it. 1874 is it. And Jesus didn't come, so he said, well, there's 40 years in there, so he came up with 1914 and said Jesus is going to come in 1914. Well, he didn't come, so he came up with the secret presence theory that we have passed on to us through the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower organization. But you can take these years, I mean, you can take those days and translate them into years all you want, but all of those time measures have all come to an end, have all worn out, have been completely passed. And so what are you going to do? Start a new peg, a new beginning peg, and say, well, we're not going to start with this peg back in Artaxerxes and rebuilding the temple. We're going to pick another one. And in fact, when I was editor of the Restitution Herald, I had an article in which the Watchtower Society said 1975 was the end. So they still have not learned about this date setting, and we're still doing it. But the thing that I would remind anybody in regard to translating these periods to days and then to years, that in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, in the story of the vision of the tree cut down, he said that Nebuchadnezzar should be driven into the field until seven times had passed over him. And so these seven times occurred in one man's lifetime. And so when you get talking about time and dividing in time and so forth, these have to occur as in comparatively short periods of time rather than being thousands of years. So there are different ways of looking at that, but I think we have to compare and to open our eyes and to look at the different ideas that are presented there. The 70th week in prophecy begins with, according to my reading of this, begins with the making of a covenant. And if you look at there, in fact, the margin in the King James actually says a covenant, and that is the Hebrew for that. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is the 70th week. And so this is what it is. Most people consider this to be a covenant that allows the renewal of the temple services. In fact, a lot of people look for the Jewish temple to be rebuilt. I don't, personally. I think there are other ways that people can worship besides in a physical temple. But what we see here are some, I really believe, in studying the idea of a covenant, that this was a false covenant. It was a covenant of peace and security. The book of Isaiah, 28th chapter, 15th and 18th verses, talks about their covenant with death and hell being annulled. 1 Maccabees 1, 10 through 15 talks about Antiochus Epiphanes making a covenant with many in Israel to do away with circumcision of their children, and to it was a truly a covenant of un-Jewishness. And part of the covenant was to build gymnasiums and to turn the people to the Greek and Roman ways of life. So to me, it goes even mentioned or is related to in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when it says, "They say it shall say peace and security, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In other words, there are these true covenants of the Bible, but we believe that there is a false covenant that is mentioned in this particular instance that is being made. I am not a prophet, but I wonder at times if this is involved in the present method of Israel making covenants with their neighbors, land for peace, and that perhaps even it might involve giving up Jerusalem as a guarantee of peace and security. As I said, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what it will be, but I know that that is one of the things that has never been dropped by the Arab people, and that is that they want the city. This is our city, and they want it back. And so I believe that this could be it. I do not know if the covenant will be for exactly 7 years, but it could be. But the covenant appears to be made between many in Israel and the prince that shall come. And if you take this and compare this prince that shall come, it equates with the little horn, the vile person, the king of fierce countenance, and so on. The thing of it is that not everybody in Israel will go along with this covenant. And the righteous in Israel will not go along with it, and they will be persecuted like in the days of Antiochus, especially during the last half of that week. If you go back into the book of Maccabees, there was terrible persecution. In fact, Judas Maccabeus and his brothers were killed and actually fried in large pans of oil. It was a terrible time for anybody to live. And I believe that the seeds that we see of civil war in Israel, all the way from the right wing to the left wing, all the way through the 20-some political parties in Israel, that there will be a great bit, amount of trouble between these groups. The midst of the week is mentioned several times. Daniel 7:25 says there shall be time, times, and dividing of time. 1 year, 2 years, half a year. Daniel 12:7 says time, times, and half. Revelation deals only with the latter half of the 70th week. So in Revelation 11:2, you have 42 months, that's 3.5 years, the city is trodden down. Revelation 11:3 actually says 1,260 days the two witnesses prophesy. Revelation 12:6 talk about the 1,260 days of the woman in the wilderness. And then in Revelation 12:14, again we have time, times, and half a time. So you see that these time measures are found over and over. Revelation definitely just deals with the last half of the 70th week, the 1,260 days or 42 months. In this 24th, from the 24th of Matthew, it appears this will be the period of great tribulation, such as was not in any time before, nor would be after. There are other time measures in the book of Daniel, especially the 12th chapter, and I will not go into those, but Harry Whitaker, in his book, The Last Days, explains them as being intercalary, 1290 days, and so forth. And it talks about these different ones. Brother McLean has written on this, and I'm not going to introduce it at this time. I may later. But it seems to be that there's one instance that it's exactly 1,000 days longer than 3.5 years. The question might be asked, is this the millennium of the Bible? It goes to 1,335 days. But I'm not wanting to get into those, especially if I want to bring in things that confuse us any more than we should. But these are all things that are mentioned here, and I believe that they are literal times in the Scripture. One of the things that is mentioned here is the abomination of desolation. And Jesus refers to this in Matthew, the 24th chapter. If you ever, if you take your Youngs or your Strongs and look up this word abomination, it always has to do with idols or the works of men's hands. And I have believed that this false covenant that I believe will be made will be just that, a work of men's hands. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 2nd verse, Moses warned the people, when you come into the land, do not make covenants with the people of the land. But Israel has gone against this, and especially lately, she is trusting in herself. In fact, in one place in Daniel, it mentions that they recognize the God of forces. And if you look up the word forces, it means munitions. In fact, in the last week, there was a program on educational television, 6 days in June. And I have the Life magazine of the Six-Day War in 1967, showing the thousands of tanks and thousands of planes all destroyed, the trusting in the God of munition. But Israel did it. And this is where she is to a great extent trusting in herself. But in the very end, it goes on and talks about the consummation will come when that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. In the margin there, the King James translator said, the desolator. In other words, that this is showing that just as in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, yes, you will destroy Jerusalem, but you yourself will be judged. So now it's showing that the desolator himself will be desolate and will be determined upon him and will be destroyed. So the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that is talking about the Song of Moses, it said that when Israel comes to that time when she is desolated, and she sees that there, when God sees that there's none shut up or left, then he goes forth and fights against his enemies and Israel's enemies and renders vengeance upon his enemies. Same thing that it's saying in the 83rd Psalm, that his name might be glorified. I am not date setting. I don't believe in date setting, but I do believe that there is a particular period in the history of the world that is probably yet coming. And I watch very carefully Israel's covenants and her dealings with the nations around her, because I believe that this is the key to the 70th week of Daniel. And so the thing that I said earlier is that it's for us to study and watch. I believe to a great extent these things are sealed until the time of the end, and that the purpose of prophecy is not for curiosity, and it's not to make us prophets, or not to make us smug, but it is to give us strength through faith when we see these things fulfilled. And they're a challenge to us to watch and be prepared. So that's what I want to leave you with in regard to the 70th week of Daniel, is that open our eyes, keep our eyes open, keep them on the Middle East, keep them on Israel, and see what these things, how they occur and what comes to pass and how this answers to this particular portion of Scripture. We thank you for your time.